If you enjoy the Homeschool Made Simple podcast, it's time to attend one of our 2026 events. We'll be in Minnesota in March, then in August, we'll be in Tennessee and Texas. Plus, we have a summer webinar this June. Gain long-term vision and fresh encouragement for homeschooling by taking time away from everyday life to dive into learning more. Visit our website at homeschoolmadesimple.net/seminars to register and make plans to join us in 2026. If you know you want to homeschool, but your kids are still toddling around, you might be wondering what educational things you should be doing now. With so many people pushing early academics, we want to introduce you to an alternative approach that focuses on what will bond you with your children and give them the foundation they need for educational success. You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. Carol Joy Side has been helping families homeschool for several decades now through her literature-based approach to education. And I'm Rachel Winchester, a fellow homeschool mom using this method with my own three children. In this episode, we're revisiting a series Carol and I recorded to walk through the Homeschool Made Simple approach. Today, we're talking about the preschool years. Before we jump into the episode, I want to let you know about a resource we have in our online store that will further help you fill in the blanks around the preschool years. If you listen to this episode and want to learn more details about what to focus on before your kids are school age, check out our preschool interview where Carol and JJ talk about the three things to focus on while your children are young: Bible, nature, and work. Visit our online store at homeschoolmadesimple.net/store or click the link in the show notes to access this $10 audio recording that will help you homeschool for preschool. Now let's get into the episode. Well, today I am back with Carol to talk about preschool specifically, but we're doing an overview of what our philosophy of education is in a nutshell. And so if you missed the last episode, it was the overview and gave the whole vision. And then now we're going to start to break down, okay, what does this look like in the different ages and stages of homeschooling? So we are back for more.
Yay.
Let's talk about, first of all, how old are preschoolers?
Well, obviously in America, that has a lot of scope for imagination. I would say until 7, I don't consider a child school age officially. So in the 4 Scandinavian countries, that would be their answer. Until 7, they are, quote, preschool. You could include kindergarten in that if you use a traditional and historic approach to kindergarten, which is a garden of children, which is cooking and cleaning and animal care and nature walks and singing with rhythm instruments. But if it's preparation for Harvard, which kindergarten has become, then we won't go there.
Yeah. So I guess a technical note would be that, for instance, I'm in South Carolina and my compulsory age for my state is 5, which there is a caveat where you can technically file a paper and it starts at 6 or whatever. But the compulsory age is 5. So depending on the age, you might be having to record or be schooling officially, but still being flexible as far as the way that's applied and like implemented. Just because I have to educate my children at 5 years old doesn't mean that that automatically starts, meaning we have to learn to read and all the rigorous academic stuff.
Yeah. Normally preschool, I would say, was maybe 3 and 4 and 5. And then kindergarten in my kingdom would be 6, and first grade would be 7. We don't do a lot of that in the homeschool movement, worrying about grades and ages and things. But that's just a general overview. And you're absolutely right. If you are investing time with your child, if you're reading to them, if you're working, doing life skills in your home, cooking and baking and gardening and sewing and all the things we do. And then the outdoor skills, you know, building a treehouse with daddy and cutting down trees and pulling weeds and planting tulip bulbs. All those things are the components of a really expensive school system called the Waldorf School, which is approximately $20,000 for kindergarten a year. So save your pennies if you want your child to go there. But they still don't have the student-teacher ratio that you have in your home. It's all in speaking teacherese. So all you do is you go to Home or whatever, Office Max or whatever those places are, and you buy in August a teacher's planning book. And every day you write down all the life skill experiences that your child has had. We helped at the food pantry. We visited the widow up the street and brought her muffins. We painted our neighbor's fence as a surprise. Whatever it is, that is all quantifiable by writing it down. If you have to use teachery terms like community service and compassion ministry and life skills, you know, whatever it is, feel free. Home economics, wood shop, call it what you will, but have confidence in yourself that the education your child is getting is better than any education they could get anywhere because you are one-on-one interacting with your child. And if you have a large family, better still, because you have all those older siblings now educating your youngers, which means they have like a student-teacher ratio of 12 teachers to one student. You couldn't afford that at any cost. And so your kids are living the dream. And you need to know it.
It's a good-sized family right there.
Yeah, it is. Why not? Children are a blessing. And the more, the merrier.
Very merry. So I wanted to just talk about the three-legged stool. In the last episode, we talked about how an education is a three-legged stool, work, service, and study, and give a general idea of what that looks like in this episode in the preschool year. And I feel like big motivation during these years is that I want to give my kids a good start. And every parent wants to give their kid a great start so that they have what they need for success in the future. So maybe you could talk about how that gets a little off course and then maybe the right course to, the best course to get on.
So first thing I would say is, of course, none of this is original. Dr. Moore would say, we don't do anything for our child that they can do for themselves. So the best start I know of is giving a child the freedom to work and serve in their own home and them getting a lot of kudos for that. Not for how cute or how smart they are, which they have nothing to do with, but the way that they are contributing to the family corporation, Dr. Moore used to say. And so they feel needed and wanted and depended upon, he would teach us. And I have watched that. Children get very bored with being fawned over and spoiled and catered to, but what they love is feeling like they're doing adult work at a young age and getting the approval of the adults in their lives from that. You know, I love to tell the story of a little girl. I think she was Australian or New Zealand child. I can't remember, one of those countries. And one day her grandmother called her up. It was her birthday. I think she had turned 5. And the grandmother said, "And darling, what did you get for your birthday?" And the little girl said, "Oh, grandmama, you won't believe what I get." And she said, I just have no idea what. And she said, "Mommy said I get to make my bed all by myself." And the grandmother said, "What? Are you sure? Can you do it?" "Oh, I can. I can, grandmama. Mommy's been working with me. And she said today, because I turned 5, I can do it all by myself." And there was this rejoicing over the phone from this little girl, because she saw this as a privilege, not a punishment. And so raising our children with that expectation that contributing to the family is a rite of passage. It's something to be bragged about. It's something to call daddy at work and tell him, "You won't believe what little Matilda did today. She scrubbed the whole bathroom, and you're going to need sunglasses so you don't get retinal damage when you come home because it is sparkling." And her hearing that and what that does for a child and their self-esteem and their sense of accomplishment. And they want to grow up to do more and more of this because they learn what a pleasure it is to serve and to give instead of just to receive. So work is the key. It's a cornerstone.
Yeah. And I feel like really work is the emphasis in preschool between the three things. And really work ties into so much service at that age of just, we participate, we are serving each other in our family. Why are we folding clothes again? Why are we emptying the dishwasher again? Well, we ate, you know, like helping them have that perspective because we're all people. We're all human. Like we talked about before, they're not coming out godly and none of us are naturally bent towards that. Oh, sure, I would love to serve other people. I would love to do this thing again and again and again, but that's such a big part of discipling them in these years.
And then finding the joy and the pleasure that it brings, which you wouldn't, it doesn't logically compute. And yet, once you experience it, you're like, I would rather do that than go to the Bahamas. When JJ was a teenager, our youth group borrowed a kitchen. The church that we went to did not have its own kitchen. And so we asked the sister church if we could borrow their kitchen. And they did a lunch, I believe, or a dinner, I can't remember, for the homeless, of which there were many in our community. And I remember the kids going, that was the best thing we ever did, and nagging the leadership. When can we do that again? They didn't beg for like, can we have another pizza party or another volleyball game or whatever mindless thing? But that one thing was the thing that stood out, and they talked about it and talked about it. They knew the homeless people by name. They were all planning, we're going to get this person tennis shoes. We're going to do, like, they owned it. And felt the satisfaction that they didn't feel from being served and fawned over. They felt it from having responsibility and being treated like they could make a difference in people's lives. And they did.
Do you want to get your kids into music lessons but don't want to add a commute to your schedule? Take commuting to music lessons off your to-do list this year and spend more time actually making music. At Voteberg Music Academy, you can learn to play piano, guitar, mandolin, ukulele, or violin and fiddle right in your own home. Rewind the tough parts, speed up your progress with bonus lessons in the video vault, and learn a new song every single week. My daughter had just started the piano lessons, and she is really loving it. Join thousands of other families using VoteburgMusicAcademy.com as their one-stop shop for musical instruction, all for less than $30 a month per family per instrument. Use our code HOMESCHOOL20 and get 20% off every month you are enrolled at Voteburg Music Academy. Music should be for everyone, and learning has never been more efficient and fun. Now let's get back to the episode.
So just to give people some ideas of things that this age of children could do, I'll just share a few things that my children do because I'm in this age range. You know, my youngest is 3, my oldest is 8. So emptying the dishwasher in our home, putting the silverware away is like a rite of passage. It's like the youngest gets to do that. And then the oldest is so happy to pass it on once the youngest is able to do it. But it's like they're sorting and putting the forks and spoons away and all that, making their bed, like you said, cleaning up their room, cleaning up after themselves, sorting clothes, putting clothes away, that sort of thing, starting the laundry. Kids can do so much that we don't think that they can do. And then when you raise your kids to do these things, then people are just blown out of the water by the things that your kids can do because they don't expect children to be able to do these kind of things.
I know. And I believe it was Maria Montessori who said that children's play is what we consider work. They would rather work than play with a bunch of dumb plastic toys. They would give anything to bake or cook or do dishes. Any of the things that we might consider laborious, to them, that is play. But we send them to go watch VeggieTales videos while we work like we're like indentured servants. It's like, wait a minute. They're dying to do this, and we're robbing them of the privilege of doing it. So life skills are fundamental. And then, of course, in the early years, reading to them by the hour. And when we're working, we can memorize and recite scripture, poetry. We can memorize songs and hymns. And so we're making it fun. We're having contests. And I think a lot of times in the homeschool community, particularly, sadly, firstborn mothers, they tend to just do everything like they're in the army. You know, it's just joyless. And I always say to those moms when I'm consulting with them, I want your middle name to be fun. And the husband always chuckles because that is the last thing that they're known for. But they have to work at it a little bit. But I'm like, get up in the morning and put on your bozo nose and get your, you know, cheerleading costume on or whatever. You're going to just root for your kids all day. And it's going to be fun and it's going to be positive instead of drudgery. It's all in how you present work to children, whether they want to participate. And as Dr. Moore taught us over and over again, they want to work with you, never alone. In the early years, they need that encouragement and that cheerleading, and they want to be with you. And so what you say is, well, mommy and daddy work. So if you want to hang with us, come work with us, because we can't just sit around and look in your eyes all day because we've got things to do. And you can be part of that. And then we're going to brag about you and call grandma and tell her what you did.
My children are better behaved when they have really put their energy into working. And then if there's just fighting or disharmony going on, then I'll rally the troops for a project that we need to do. And then even if it's just something that doesn't take very long, if we just work together and get it done, they can go and play and they can be friendly to one another. It just completely changes the mood.
Yes, because they go from disorder and chaos to order and structure. And it makes them feel safe. And it makes them feel like someone is running the asylum and that they are contributing, which gives them such esteem because they're not just kids. Now they're part of the corporation and they know it. It really builds their security level. And they like each other more. Instead of the holidays or sometimes weekends, I know they can feel so disordered and can create a lot of insecurity, even with adults. You know, daddy just thinks it's a great idea to lay around and watch baseball. And mommy has, well, shouldn't we be going on field trips on the weekends? And everyone has their expectations. But when there's a plan and they know where they're going and where they're heading, and that they have a key part in that plan, it just makes everyone feel like they belong in the universe. And it creates harmony instead of discord.
So you kind of mentioned, you know, you're reading a lot. And so really, that's the basics of study during these preschool years would be reading great books and memorizing things.
So reading great books, studying the Bible, and spending time in nature would be the three components, and then work and service. Those are the keys. We don't worry about the ABCs and the 1-2-3s, as one of my clients calls them, but we're working on character. And character is formed through sacrifice and hard things. Character is not formed through academics, which a lot of cultures think it is, that, you know, your job is to be a student. So I'll be the slave in the kitchen and wait on you hand and foot because you've got to get into medical school. But that's not building character. And that person's not going to be a compassionate doctor unless something else comes into their life to form them spiritually. But it's when you give children an opportunity to sacrifice and to serve that you see this beautiful character coming up. And a child who knows how to work will teach themselves anything else they need to know. So again, you're kind of winding up a clock that's going to keep going even when you take your hands off of it, because you're creating a path for character development in your child that will serve them for life.
Yeah. So those fundamentals of character are way more important than the fundamentals of math or biology or, you know, reading, grammar, that sort of thing.
That's right. We're not doing school in the early years. We're doing life skills, which will then apply so beautifully when they get into formal academic work and they'll be ready and they won't be burned out. They won't be like, we've been doing this for 6 years. I've never gotten it yet. Why would I want to do it again? Instead of waiting till you can teach to mastery when they're older, because as Dorothy Moore used to say, give them success experiences every day. Well, if they're too young for formal academics, they're going to develop a resistance and a mental block against them because they were not successful. But if you wait till they're going to be successful, they'll love it. John Saxon said, we love what we are good at and we're good at what we like. And so giving them things that they're successful at will actually pave the road to them wanting to do more and more of this as they go forward. And that's the key, because academics are easy, but overcoming mental blocks, that's much harder.
Well, this is great. And I think that we've really given people a great vision for what preschool can look like. These are such sweet years, such really lovely years. And just to be knowing that we're laying a foundation that's going to be built on, and that we can lay something that's going to be strong and last for many years to come.
The last thing that maybe we should touch on is the power of attachment and bonding in these years, and how unfortunate it is that we think that some other adult or some other organization is needed in our children's lives during these years. But one of the first things that I read by Dr. Moore when I was trying to disprove homeschooling, he was saying that when a child is sent off to, say, a preschool or wherever, Mother's Day out, whatever it is, that they wonder in their heart, why doesn't mommy want to be with me anymore? And I remember reading that and just feeling this pain in my heart because our son was 4, I think, at the time when I read that. And oh, just having taught in Christian preschool and junior high, both of them kind of the same period in a child's life, where one minute they feel little and the other minute they feel big. So there were parallels with both groups. And I just remember reading that concept and thinking, as Dr. Moore used to teach us, home is the best nest and parents are the best teachers. And not feeling that someone else can do a better job of this than a really loving, normal parent can do. They are the best choice. They're the number one desire for their children. They want to be with you. And whatever you're doing, they want to be with you doing it.
Yeah. And maybe some parents listening need somebody to give them permission to listen to their intuition, to say that I really want to be with my child. I don't want to send them off.
That's right.
And that's not something that I have to ignore or push aside. I need to listen to that intuition because that's what's actually right. That intuition is God-given for a reason, because we are meant to be with our kids. And so just if anybody's listening who needs permission to keep their child with them, then I hope that this episode can be that for you.
And you cannot believe, Rachel, how many parents tell me that they drop their children off and cry all the way as they're driving away. And just what you said, to listen to that still small voice that God has put, particularly in moms, but in dads as well, and not be intimidated by the experts, because mommy and daddy are the expert on that child, and no one loves them more than they do, and no one knows them better than they do. Getting that authority from heaven and then walking in that authority is so important as we parent our children, especially when they're little, when the experts intimidate us and we don't feel that we're qualified, but we are.
There's a season to keep them close and there's a season to launch them out.
Throw them out of the nest.
Yeah, exactly. So let's do it in the proper order. And then they'll be ready to fly when the time comes. We'll all be ready for them to fly when the time comes.
So true. That's such a good point. I love that. You're smart. You're not just a pretty face.
Well, thank you very much. This is great. And I think it will encourage families.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of Homeschool Made Simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.